Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Sandy Bob Show. This is April 9th, 2019, and we have a very interesting show on today. And we're going to talk about some things that a lot of people don't even address. Before we start the show, though, I want to remind all our listeners, not just the ones that are on now, but anybody that listened to this show, to be sure to do the new you. What the new you does is it connects you to the real guides on the real side of life that will show you how to get out of cause-effect creation and get to where you really want to be, kind of like in a paradise. And we're kind of stuck in a cause-effect creation right now, but by singing new you, and it goes something like new you, or any way you want to sing it. Don't chant it, just sing it, and relax. You can sing it out loud, you can sing it to yourself, and if you do it 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes before you go to bed at night, then you're showing the real guide's intent. Intent is a very, very important part of finding out what's really going on. And you can even ask Rebbe Zartires. He has a standing offer for anybody that does the new you, that he will come to you in your sleep state and he will show you exactly what you want to know. He'll give you the answers to all your questions. So with that, I want to tell everybody, I want to start the show by picking up where I kind of left off last week. And last week, I was started talking about holograms and how we kind of live in a holographic universe. And my first exposure to holograms was I was on a U.S. Navy scholarship going to school at the University of Idaho, and on my one of my summer cruises, I was invited by the Navy to go on what they call a summer cruise, and I wound up being ordered to go down to San Diego, and then they took us on a field trip down to Point Loma, San Diego, just south of San Diego, Point Loma, and this was back around 1971, and Point Loma was an advanced research facility for the U.S. Navy, and they brought us in this room, and they had lasers set up, and one of the lasers they had set up, they had a digital readout on it in 1971, excuse me, and they could point this laser across the room at an object, and they could actually measure the distance. And they had this laser set up in this room where it was like 30 feet across, and they projected the digital readout up on a screen so everybody in the audience could see it, and it would read the distance to like 10,000ths of an inch. Extremely accurate. And the the guy putting on the demonstration said, well, let me show you how accurate it is. And he put his hand on top of the laser machine, and the heat of his hand instantly started warming up the machinery that was holding the laser light, and the heat of his hand caused the metals to expand, and you could actually see the change in distance from the readout just based on the expansion of the metals from the heat of his hand. And you could just watch it start clicking off the tens of thousands or thousands of an inch that the distance changed as he warmed up his hand. Well, that was kind of impressive. And then they did another demonstration where they took one of those old razor blades, one of single-edge stainless steel razor blades, and they put it in a vise and held it up in front of this laser light, and they put a timer on the laser light to where this was a slightly more powerful laser, and they put it on a timer, and they turned on the machine for about, I think it was like a tenth of a second. It might have been quicker than that. And you heard a loud pop, and it burned a beautiful quarter-inch hole right through the middle of this stainless steel razor blade. So even in 1971, they had technology with lasers to burn holes through stainless steel, which was kind of interesting. But then the next thing they showed us kind of blew me out of the water. I was all new to this, and it was a hologram. And what they had done is they had taken a picture of a battleship, using hologram technology, and they what they do is they make the hologram plate, and then they, in order to show a hologram, excuse me, they have to take the same laser light and shine it through the plate or negative of the photograph, and when they do that, you have a fully three-dimensional picture of whatever the object was. In this case, it was a battleship. And what I found impressive is they displayed this in a case, and the battleship was maybe 6 or 8 inches long, and it showed up as a hologram. And the impressive thing about it was, at the time, you could stand so you could look directly down on the deck, and you could see all the guns and the turrets and all the different paraphernalia that they have on top of a ship. And then you could lean over and look underneath the hull, and when you looked underneath the hull, you could see the screws from, you know, the propellers, and up front you could see the anchors hanging, but you couldn't see anything on the deck. It was literally like looking like an actual 3D object, like a model of a ship, just like you would expect a model. It was fully 3D. You could not, unless you were on the side that the object was facing, you couldn't see it. So when you were underneath the deck, you couldn't see on top, and when you're on top, you couldn't see underneath. So it was very, very interesting how hologram technology works. Now, this was in its infancy. Today, it's just like cameras. You know, that when they had people learning how to do black and white photographs back in the 1800s, and who knows how far back it goes, but they were taking black and white pictures, like in the Civil War, there were a lot of black and white photographs that were taken. And eventually it progressed to where somebody figured out that if you could freeze frame pictures and play them back at a high rate of speed, then all of a sudden you have movie cameras and technology. And if you've ever picked up a roll of film, like my grandfather used to have a 8mm camera, and he used to get the film developed, and they had those little 3-inch reels that they used to play it on, and I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen those. Well, you can hold up the film and unravel the film, and you can see the individual photographs. Excuse me again. You can see the display of the images, and then when you play it through a projector, you get the sense of time and motion. And so what it is is when you play a movie through that, you get the sense of time and motion, and that's like on a projector screen. And now today's technology has the same kind of technology, really, really far advanced, where they can put images on a DVD, and you can play it on your TV screen, and you get the same effect. Now, what's interesting about all this, as I will try to show, is we are living in a holographic universe. Everything around us, and even your body, is a hologram. I know that's probably new to a lot of people, but we really are holograms. And this is, once you understand that you're a hologram, all the food you eat is a hologram, all the medicine you take is a hologram, it puts a slightly different slant on your outlook and your awareness of what life is all about. One last thing I want to say about holograms is I was really surprised in the early stages of holograms. I had a friend and his wife went over to Ohio and went out to eat at an expensive steak restaurant. And when they got to this restaurant, they walked in. They'd never been in there before. And they walked in, and there was a dance floor. And instead of a normal everybody has to mute if you're not talking with me. I'm getting a lot of feedback here. He went into this restaurant, and there's a dance floor in the middle of the restaurant, and all the seating is along the outside of the dance hall. And It's a pretty good sized dance hall, like 20, 30 feet across, and there are people doing ballroom dancing on this dance floor. They're all dressed up in their big long garbs, and they're doing dancing the classical music, and they're just spinning and reeling and, you know, swinging around and doing all this ballroom dancing. And he said, as he walked to his table, as the Maitre D walked him over to the his table, he said he had to duck a couple times to keep from getting hit by these dancers. And so when he sat down and the waitress came over and waited on him, he said, I've never seen anything like this. You know, where did you get all these dancers to come in? I mean, it's really hard to get all these people to come in and dance and have a gay time like this, and especially in a restaurant. I mean, you obviously can't be paying them for any of this. And the waitress says to him, well, sir, he said, those are holograms. They're not real people. And he was stunned. He said, how can that be? And the waitress said, well, next time they come over by your table, stick your hand out right into their outfit. And he did, and his hand went right through the hologram. So that was around 1990. So that was holographic technology in 1990. And now, just like in the days of black and white photographs, moving into DVDs, now there are people that have holographic technology where they can actually have full 3D color and full motion, and they don't need a projector. They don't need a screen. They can just project the images out into empty space. And we know that from the World Trade Center, the two aircraft that flew into the World Trade Center were holograms. They were not real aircraft. There may have been a cruise missile that was flown into the building, but the aircraft, the ones that were supposed to be the airliners full of passengers, were indeed holograms. They were not real. And how do we know that they were not real? Well, when the news press first released the images from the World Trade Center and these airplanes crashing into the World Trade Center, they made a big mistake. The one that they made very public hit the side of the building of the World Trade Center, went through the building in the right, over 20 feet of the right outboard wing, came out the other side undamaged. And what happened was the guys running the holographic projector didn't turn it off in time, and the airplane kept moving through the building. Well, once that became the public became aware of that, and the guys who were authoring the false images of saying that it was aircraft that hit, they had to scramble into all the newsrooms and tell the guys to edit out that last few seconds of footage so people would not see that the aircraft went through the building and came out the other side unscathed. So that's how we know they were holograms, because that is absolutely not possible with a real aircraft. So anyway, for those of you that were not on last week, I'd like to explain how a hologram photograph is done. And the basic principle of a hologram is you need a laser light, and you need a set of mirrors. And the first mirror that you have, you have to have about 50% reflectivity. So when you shine a laser light at this first mirror, the laser light, half the laser light signal goes through the mirror, and half of the light is reflected off in a different direction. And so when you make the hologram, you take the primary laser signal that goes through the mirror, you direct that in right into the lens of the camera, and then you take the one that's reflected off, that half of the laser signal, you use mirrors to get it to reflect off your object that your camera is photographing, and when the laser light hits the object, it's just like an ordinary photograph. You get the image of the laser light reflection off that object into the camera lens. So when you take the photographic plate for a lasergram, I'll call it, you have two different sources of laser light entering the camera. And then when you have that all done, then you, in order to see the image as a holographic projection, you simply take that photographic plate and shine your laser light back through the photographic plate, and voila, there you have a holographic projection. Now, there's some very interesting characteristics about a hologram, and that is, now, I'll read it. Now, a lot of this information I'm sharing with you, it was brought to my attention by David Icke, so I got to give David Icke full credit for getting me started on this subject, and I may quote him directly here in a few places, and it's from his book called The Perception Deception. And he really lays it out. There's a bunch of things, and I have one guest on, Claudia, that I'm going to mention some things where I think he's off track about reptilians and stuff. We'll get to that. But for the most part, he brings up some really interesting scientific fact. Anyway, here's one of the amazing characteristics of holograms, is that every part of a hologram is a smaller version of the whole. Put another way, if you cut a holographic waveform print into four pieces and point a laser at each one, you will not see four-quarter segments of the holographic image. You will see four-quarter-sized versions of the whole hologram. So what that means is any part of a hologram contains all the information of the original hologram, although it may be watered down if the part you're replaying back is a lesser size than the original. So if you took an ordinary 35 millimeter or a digital picture of, let's say you took a picture of a person facing you, just standing there, and you had a photograph of that and you cut it into four segments, you'd have one segment with his left leg, another segment with his right leg, another segment with his right arm and left arm, and half his head or whatever. So that's the way a regular photograph works. But in a hologram, each segment of a hologram contains all the information of the original hologram. Now, you've heard the saying, as above, so below. Well, actually, everything that we see in this universe is a reflection of the original. May not contain all the information, but it is a reflection of the original. So that's important to understand. This is the beginning of understanding of how this holographic universe works. Now, I'll actually quote David Icke here. He says, the body is a hologram, and so every part of the body is a smaller version of the whole. This explains why reflexology, acupuncture, and other forms of alternative healing can find areas in different parts of the body, hand, ear, foot, whatever, that affect different organs and processes of the whole body. It has to be like this because the body is a hologram. All right, so you, like Sandy's been going to an acupuncture, and she's got some internal organ things that the acupuncturist is working on, and they stick needles in her legs and arms. Well, what's her legs and arms got to do with her kidney or liver? You know, you got to ask, well, how can that be? Well, it's because every cell on your body contains all the information about your whole body, and when an acupuncturist sticks a needle in one part of your body, he's hitting the part of the internal organ, which he can't reach with his needles. So that's how acupuncture works, and acupressure, and a lot of these other things. David Icke says that most practitioners do not understand that their practice is possible because the body is a hologram. Palm reading comes from the same principle because the hand contains information about the whole body on multiple levels of being. Experiments over the years have shown that some people can see through other parts of their bodies, including the palm of the hand, and not only through the eyes. They can do this by employing the sight senses located through the body hologram, in this case, the hand. They don't see as clearly as they would if they were using their eyes, but they are employing the same basic principle of decoding information and communicating electrically the information to their brain, what they're seeing through their hands, where they're using that part of the eye part of the hologram that's located in their hand. So let me stop at this point. Anybody have any questions or any comments that they would like to make about what I've said so far?
This is Claudia in Texas, and I'm just overwhelmed with the amount of information you have given us and updating us from the 1950s to the year 2019. Oh, my goodness, a lot of stuff has really happened. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Claudia. Anybody else? Well, here's where it gets interesting is holographic reality, the one that we're living in, is not projected from the edge of the universe like a hologram in a laboratory where they take the plate and shine a lens through it. In our cause-effect creation, the holographic reality is not projected from the edge of the universe. It is manifested through the decoding process of the human mind-body computer as it reads information from the waveform construct. So the key of what I'm trying to say today, and I'll be getting into it a little more and more as we go along, the key of living in this cause-effect world or creation that we're in has a tremendous amount to do with how our mind computer decodes the information. So the name of the game is, you know, that's where our mind comes in. You know, our mind decodes this information. So the question is, how does the mind decode the hologram? Well, this is where I say enter DNA. All right, DNA. DNA and the whole genetic structure is key to the decoding process. DNA is an informational molecule encoding genetic instructions used in the development and functioning of all known living organisms and many viruses. It is a receiver-transmitter system which receives information from the universal cosmic internet field and transmits it to the five senses. Okay, so here we are, where our DNA is the method, it's the transmitter and receiver that takes the information from the holographic projection and sends it to our brain for decoding. Okay, this is very, very important to understand that this is key to everything. I lost my computer image here. Let me see if I can get it back here. Okay, there. All right, so that's the DNA is very, very fundamental to understanding how to actually operate within this holographic universe of creation that we're living in. Russian biophysicist and molecular biologist Pyotr Gargiev and his team of researchers in Russia covering many disciplines have been pioneers in the field of what is being called wave genetics. They have discovered that DNA has more than merely genetic functions. It is involved in data storage and communication and a superconductor that can process vast amounts of information, and it doesn't lose any energy in the form of heat. It's just complete energy. And what's interesting is Gargiev and his colleagues have proved that DNA can be reprogrammed by words and frequencies. But then words are frequencies. Everything in our reality is a frequency, and the holographic projection is being projected at a given frequency. And they went on to discover that the DNA can be healed with words and vibrations. And here's the bottom line of everything. They also discovered that the information, if the DNA is transmitting and receiving this information, the information can be harmonized, and or it can be distorted by the nature of the information it receives. Now that's key. The key is information can be distorted. Now that's the problem that we're having to deal with. Now, the question I have, you know, for most of the listeners are familiar with the real side, and I want to back up to a point where there's a very common saying. It's in the Bible, right at the beginning of the Bible, and it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Well, I won't go into which God's created the heavens and the earth, but I want to point out the fact that very few people think about, well, if God created the heavens and the earth, what was there before God created the heavens and the earth? There had to be something there. Well, we call it the real side, or I call it the real side, and that's where the real guides hang out, and it's where you have perfect perception of reality. Now, we are living, as our day-to-day lives, we are living in a kind of a matrix-type situation. We're living in a holographic projection, and many of us that are on this call today have seen that when we look at things from what we call the cause-effect creation, we do not see things clearly. It's like things are distorted, but when we go on the real side, we can see everything clearly. Well, why is it that today, why is it that we can't open our eyes and look around us and see what's going on in this world? Why can't we see with clear vision exactly what's going on? Well, it's because our information systems have been distorted. It's like trying to see through a prism. So we're not getting a very clear picture of what real life is here, because somewhere along in time, somebody came in and hijacked the cause-effect creation and distorted it. So how did this come about? Well, I have a bunch of interesting things about that. But let me say one thing about, even in this holographic reality that we're living in, it's a total illusion. There is no such thing as time and space. It's all an illusion. And I know that a lot of people say, well, you have to live in the now. Well, I would go so far as to say that, as David Icke reminds me, it's impossible not to live in the now. All right, how can you not live in the now? And David Icke, let me quote him here. He says, as was space, so was time. There is no such thing as time except as encoded information. There is only the eternal now. And he says, by that, I don't mean the now as another word for the present in the sense of past, present, and future. I mean now, in which the past, present, and future are all the same experience. All right, so it's just like the movie film. When you pick up a roll of movie film, you pick up the whole reel. You got the beginning, the end, everything in your hand. That's reality. But when you start playing it through your movie projector, then you get the illusion of time and space. That's the same thing with a DVD. When you put a DVD in your DVD player and put it on your movie, on your television screen, and start watching the information from the DVD, you're getting the illusion of time and space, which doesn't really exist. Well, where's all the information? All the information, the beginning and the end, the alpha and the omega, is located on the DVD disc. It's all there. And it's all available to us, beginning and end. It's all there for us, ready to grab. And it's only when we start projecting it through our mind and five senses that we start experiencing the illusion. So David Icke goes on to say, okay, so what about the experience when we have a memory of the past? You know, when do we have a memory of the past? Well, it's in the now. The only moment that exists is now. Right now, we're thinking about the past, but we're not living in the past. We're living in the now. We're thinking about the past. What about how about thinking about the future? Well, when do we think about the future? We're thinking about it now. Are we experiencing the future? No, it's not real. We're not experiencing the future. All we're doing is experience thinking about the now, which is in the now. So there's only the now, just as there is only infinity, eternity, all possibility, and all knowingness. So it's all perception. It's the way the mind takes this information and translates it. Now, where is the problem with all this? Well, the problem comes in, and I'll start talking about language. How do we communicate? We communicate by language. All right? A Boston Harvard team found with DNA, they discovered that the coding DNA in our genes as appropriately a code, and the coding in our DNA is like software in a specifically written code. While 98% of the DNA in our bodies has been called junk DNA, and that was a language that in so many ways expressed the behavior of human languages. But what are human languages? They are vibrational waveform phenomena generated from the vocal cords, which we decode into what we experience as spoken words. The same applies to written words, which are also waveform in their base state, and the words that you see when you read. They're holographic expressions of the waveform state. And this even affects the derivation of words. And David Icke goes on to say that's why the politicians today carefully word everything they say, because they have to stay within their script so they communicate the information that they're trying to communicate. Any comments at this point before I continue on? Well, so far, as long as we had a good language and a good view, as long as the cause-effect creation that God created, the quote-unquote God created, was not tampered with, everything was fine and wonderful. But what happened? What really happened here? Well, what happened was, sometime in the past, our world got interfered with. Now, one of the ways that the world got interfered with was we had a couple of reptilians here that came to Earth, and that's a long story that Claudia can go into, where we had reptilians that came here, and to make a long story short, they created humankind through genetic manipulation. And they did that by taking some of the primates that were indigenous to Earth and They altered their DNA, and they made them smart enough to be slaves and operate their machinery, but not smart enough and long-lived enough to figure out what was going on. And they also engineered them to be food for the reptilians. So there's been a couple things that have happened since that happened, and this has written down. It's a lot of people have researched this, and one American researcher and writer has been studying human origins for decades, and he points out something very, very interesting. He says that the human DNA has more than 4,000 defects compared with only a few hundred in chimpanzees and gorillas. And here's a key point I want to make. Mainstream science has acknowledged sudden changes in human genetics about 200,000 years ago and again 35,000 years ago. A lot of people believe that at one time the humans may have had 12 or 13 strands of DNA, and now we only have 2 strands of DNA. But what were these changes in human genetics? What was that all about? Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of things here. Mankind, or the beings on this planet, were doing just fine up until their DNA got changed by somebody or some organization or something. So just exactly what happened here is kind of interesting. Now, we do know that Enki and Enlil were involved with genetic engineering to create humankind in the first place, but we also know that today there's a bunch of shape-shifting hybrid human reptilians that have shape-shifting capability. They can look like real human beings right on the street, yet they can shapeshift into the horribly nasty reptilians with a very carnivorous appetite. And they're very intelligent. And how did they come about? How did they wind up here being on the earth? Well, that could have happened during the period of 200,000 years ago or 35,000 years ago when we had another alteration on the earth. Now, there was some researchers have thought that maybe the Nordics came in because a number of the shape-shifting humans also have blonde hair and blue eyes, and that's kind of the way the Nordics are, and that they are working with the reptilians behind the scenes trying to control our planet. The biggest problem that we have with DNA manipulation is DNA, as I mentioned before, was used to communicate the background hologram through the five senses of man and have the mind convert what they think the holographic reality is to their mind. Well, when this big event came in and the human DNA was altered, there's actually a text that refers to that in the Bible, and it's all over the world. There's many, many historical documents that show what happened. And in the Bible, it talks about the Tower of Babel is one of the most famous stories where the gods came in and they changed the language of human beings so they could no longer communicate with each other. Well, that's all over. That's not just the Tower of Babel story. It's everywhere, writings all around the world that the human languages got scrambled. Well, how did the human languages get scrambled? Well, the way the languages got scrambled was the DNA got scrambled. Okay, and this is most interesting. The scrambling of the original language involved rewriting the language blueprint within the junk or non-coding DNA. All right, so before I mentioned a lot of people, and we're told on TV that DNA is all about genes, and if you get, you know, if you get the genes from your parents, if your parents have a problem, like some disease, you're going to get the same thing, all because of the DNA, because it's genetic only. But there's a lot of researchers that say we have just tons and tons and tons of what they call junk DNA that serves no purpose whatsoever in our DNA. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's the junk DNA that communicates the language, which translates the hologram into what we see as our reality. So, all spoken and written languages that followed from this new blueprint are now operating on a different frequency to the high vibrational global language that was going on before, and was over all the previous communication was overwhelmingly telepathic. The new frequency generated by every spoken and written word in all the languages, the same waveform blueprint, is being decoded by DNA to form a feedback loop. The DNA language blueprint generates the language, which is broadcast by vocal cords and by the written word. Now it really gets interesting. Well, how do they do this? How does the junk DNA, how is that being used for language? Well, this is very interesting. The Chinese I Ching, or the Book of Changes, actually relates to the human genetic code, which is why I Ching, if anybody's ever studied the Chinese languages and I Ching and this sort of thing, I Ching has 64 hexagrams, or Kua, and that ties in with our genetic code, our new genetic code, our altered genetic code, which has 64 codons, which are the basic building blocks from which all physical, quote-unquote physical, life is said to manifest. Well, we now know that it's holographic life, but the language of the I Ching perfectly matches the change in genetic code, so you have perfect harmony to the new language and the codons in our junk DNA. There are many other confirmations that have been identified by researchers and experts to connect the I Ching to DNA sequencing, and it confirms that the ancient Chinese, or whoever it was that gave them I Ching codes, had a complete understanding of DNA with the potential to manipulate the DNA. China, of course, is closely associated with the serpent or dragon gods, the Archon Reptilians. Now, when I talk about the Archon Reptilians, I'm bringing up a new subject that I was just starting to get into last week. How do we know about the Archon Reptilians? Well, what's very interesting about the Archons, there was a group, you know, many people that have actually studied, you know, trying to find out the truth, maybe studied the Bible, did some Bible studies and that sort of thing, have come across the group of people known as the Essenes, a group of Gnostics that lived in the early centuries of the first millennium after Christ died. And it talks about them living out in Qumran and out in the distance. And when you hear about the Gnostics, all you hear is about the Essenes. Well, what's very interesting is what's not given very honorable mention is the fact that there was another group of Gnostics that had nothing to do with the Christian Gnostics, and they were called the pagan Gnostics. And they also were doing their own thing at the same time the Christians were. So the society, all the scholars have done a really good job in making the reality of the pagan Gnostic information kind of disappear under the table. But there's enough researchers out there that have translated their writings. And what they found was the pagan Gnostics wrote extensively about the Archons. And who are the Archons? Well, they said that the Archons are aliens on this planet that have come here to manipulate the DNA and throw everything off so people can't understand what the truth is. They alter our DNA and perception of reality. And the Archons, they said that the two main groups of Archons are the ones that created humankind using DNA, which Claudie can tell us more about. And the other group is the Greys, the same kind of Greys that were found on the Roswell, New Mexico crash. These Greys are the ones that go around and work with the reptilians, and they go into people's homes at night and take women out of their beds and take them off to some ship somewhere and do all sorts of DNA alterations on them and put them back and erase their memory. And 3 months later, the woman realized, hey, I'm pregnant and I haven't had any relations. You know, well, that's the Greys and the Archons working behind the scenes to continue altering DNA and working with the DNA changes that they've been doing. So they wrote extensively about that, and I went online a couple of days ago trying to find more information, and all I can the original information is so distorted by the writers that write about it. They're written by the Christian or Jewish communities, and they altered it just to hide the true facts of it. But the real researchers that have done it, the ones that actually were seeking the truth, have written extensively about it, and that's how David Icke became aware of it. And it's very interesting how these Archons have come in and changed the languages. So where does all this get us? All right, so we know that the DNA has been seriously altered. We know that our history goes back a lot farther than mainstream science would have us. By the way, I was going to mention that you have the mainstream science actually acknowledges that you had these changes in human genetics at 200,000 years ago and again 35,000 years ago. There was a tablet that was found that was called the Sumerian King List. And the Sumerian King List went back 240,000 years, and one of the kings ruled on Earth for 36,000 years, just one single king by himself, and that was all taking place. So there's a lot of stuff going on this planet. So the next thing I want to point out is, well, now that we know that our DNA, well, let me recap here. We're living in a holographic universe that was created, you know, quote unquote, created by God, you know, when he created the heavens and the earth, and everything was fine at the time. But somehow or another, at least in our part of the solar system, somebody came in and supplanted and changed our DNA. Well, the problem with that is our DNA is used to translate the information from the background holographic universe into our brain, where our brain translates that information into the reality of the illusion, so we can experience this illusion the way that we came here to experience it. Well, so far, so good. But then all of a sudden, whether it was 200,000 years ago or 35,000 years ago or whenever it was, and maybe these times are way off. It could have happened way before then. I'm just pointing the ones that are in mainstream science, and they're not always exactly 100%, which I'm sure you all know. Well, anyway, at some point in time, our DNA got altered. So what happens when our DNA gets altered? All of a sudden, our clear view of cause-effect creation gets blurred. All of a sudden, we're looking through a prism, or we're looking through a glass window that's no longer clear, that where the glass is distorted and maybe cracked in places where you're not getting the full picture. You're only seeing fragments of the picture, and you're not getting the clear picture anymore. So this is the reason why when we go on the real side, we get a clear view of what's going on. When we're looking at things from the creative side, we can't see the full picture. That's And that's why we a lot of things don't make sense in this reality that we're living in. Well, anyway, here's the next step of what I'm going to say here is, one of the things that happened, and if you go back and do research, there was a Russian scientist that years ago, his name was Emmanuel Velikovsky, and he did a big study of event changes that happened on planet Earth and throughout our solar system, and he discovered that just in recent times, within maybe the last tens of thousands of years, we had some major events going on within our solar system and maybe even neighboring solar systems. And planets have been collided with. We know that Mars was virtually destroyed. We know there's an asteroid belt out there and a whole bunch of other things that have taken place. And one thing I saw, and I was watching a TV special, a National Geographic special, I think it was, where they were talking about Enki and Enlil. And Enki was the chief architect behind the creating of human beings. And the one of the interesting things about that was, according to this program, I don't know how true it is, and maybe Claudia, you could comment on this. On this program, it said that at a point in time, Enki built up this kingdom, and he was making all the profit and all the money from it and everything. And Enlil, his brother Enlil, got really jealous, and he decided that he had enough of Enki, and he came in, and he was one of the principals involved in wreaking havoc within our solar system. And he even went on to so far as the old story goes, it was Enki that warned Noah, you know, whoever that might have been, the person of Noah, to build an ark and get ready for a huge flood on this planet. And now researchers know it was a historical fact that the Earth was widely flooded, whether it was, I doubt if it was from rain or the deeps opening, but I think it had a lot more to do with a pole shift where the crust of the Earth got twisted through some sort of dynamic forces, and the water from the oceans overflowed the mainlands, and that I think that was one of the major causes of flooding. And but anyway, this article on TV said that Enki's brother Enlil was responsible for this, and it created widespread, really, really widespread damage to the Earth. Now, another interesting aspect before I go into too much more about that is, I've been studying some of the Satanism. David Icke really goes into this, and he says that most of the Illuminati and the secret societies, most of the world's, most of the corporations, businesses, and religions all worship Saturn. Saturn is a very, very big factor in the worship. Almost all the symbols, like the all-seeing eye, it's not the human eye. What the all-seeing eye is Saturn with its rings. If you can just picture Saturn tilted towards you, you see the planet in the middle, that's the eyeball, and the rings around Saturn is the rest of the eye, forming the eye. And the Saturn was worshipped so heavily because before all these changes in our solar system took place, it is said that Earth actually was in orbit around Saturn. And Saturn is basically a dwarf sun. Believe it or not, Saturn puts out more energy from itself than is received by the sun. It's a huge, they call it a planet, but it's really a dwarf sun, and it puts out more energy into the solar system than is received by the sun. So it's a very active, energetic body. And that's what was very, very heavily worshipped by the Illuminati and the reptilians and what? and Egyptians, and so that's where a lot of this worship came from. So when all these events took place in the aftermath, the planets and dwarf stars like Jupiter and Saturn, they were realigned, and Earth was placed in its present orbit. And according to David Icke's research, what he found was that the people that were running Saturn with all its moons, with all the people living on all the different moons it has, are really the source of the worship that we have today. And in order to amplify the signals where they're coming in, and they are altering the signals from the cause-effect creation, they're actually transmitting information from Saturn. So the rings around Saturn are not natural. The rings around Saturn, believe it or not, were created by the aliens to act as a transmitter, and not only that, they had to bring in the moon. The moon did not exist before all this took place. The moon is an artificial construct that was placed where it is today. It doesn't fit. There's no logic reason for the moon to be where it is. But according to David Icke's research, he says the moon is an amplifier that amplifies the transmissions that are being sent from the reptilians on Saturn, broadcasting frequencies that our DNA picks up and changes our outlook and distorts reality, so we do not see the true picture. We do not see the everything the way we would see it from the real side, which is not distorted. But as long as we're living in this holographic universe, we have to look through, we have to use, as long as we're using our mind, our senses generate the information that we see, and it's very, very distorted. And that distortion comes from the transmissions from Saturn amplified through the moon. Now, what's very interesting about the construct of the moon, I'll just throw this in there, the scientists that have been there, now, I don't believe they got there from the Apollo program, but the scientists that have been to the moon, they did some early tests, and they set off charges. They set up some seismic equipment on the moon in different places, and then they set off some charges on the moon to see what would happen. And the first charge was a small charge of explosive they set off, and they said that the moon rang like a bell, which means it was like a hollow bell in a watchtower. It just rang like a hollow bell. And then later on, another experiment, they used a much bigger charge. And this next one, they got what sounded like a huge brass gong going off, just a gong, which vibrated for like 35 seconds or something. And then in the 90s, they sent up another big explosion, and this explosion had no feedback whatsoever. They had a huge explosion, and it just died on the spot. And that's when scientists found out that the surface of the moon has a dampening device underneath the surface of the moon. The surface of the moon is just covered with titanium that was melted and flowed out on the surface to act as a titanium surface to block any meteorites from penetrating the surface of the moon. They found out on that last explosion that all around the moon, which is an artificial construct, they had dampeners to dampen the impact of anything big that hit the moon. And it's just like anybody that's ever studied Cheyenne Mountain, anybody ever see those videos where they show Cheyenne Mountain, where they have all the offices sitting on heavy-duty springs, so that if a big earthquake or a nuclear bomb goes off outside Cheyenne Mountain, all that energy is absorbed by the spring so that nobody feels the vibrations in their offices. Well, the moon was constructed the same way. The moon is constructed to observe all that information, and it's hollow inside. They speculate that a lot of people are living there that are keeping the amplifying equipment functioning to amplify the signals from Saturn that are being directed right at Earth for our DNA to pick up those distorted signals. Now, what are they sending? What are the signals that they're sending? Well, just like we are dealing with on the real side, the secret, I will share the secret to anybody, the secret of getting onto the real side is intent. Intent is the name of the game. That's why we do the new UU for 15 or 20 minutes in the morning and 15 or 20 minutes at night, is we are showing our intent to learn the truth and work with the real guys and get to the real side. Well, the reptilians understand the intent also, and they are sending intent. They are transmitting intent to screw us up and distort our reality. And how do they do that? Well, it's very simple. The main way that the reptilians distort our reality, so living in this cause-effect holographic, I say reality, it's really an illusion, but since we're here and we have to deal with it, they send it primarily through symbols. And that's going to be another study where they have symbols. Almost every corporation, every flag of every government in the world are symbols from Jupiter. From Saturn. They're all Saturnistic symbols. Crescents, the crescent flag of the Middle East. The crescent flag of the Soviet Union, all the symbols in the United States government flags and the military, these are all symbols that were originated when Saturn had crescent views before all these Earth changes took place. So anyway, that's where I'm going to wrap it up. I think I've said a mouthful today for everybody. But this is where I would like, if anybody has any comments or would like to add anything to what I said, any comments, please feel free to add anything that you would like.
This is Claudia in Texas. I just wanted to say thank you, Bob. Wow, what a wonderful dissertation. Excellent. All the information that you provided is right on, and the only comment that I would like to make is from the reptilian side are those creatures that walk among us and control our, so to speak. All of these reptilians come and use the Earth as a shopping mall. They look at us and how far we've developed and what they can use in their particular modus operandi of life. One of the things to comment on is that upgrades, really, things that happened in 1940, we now are beginning to see. Things that happened in the year 2010, oh my goodness, what an upgrade. One of the things to upgrade is that for my personal experience with the Orions is that they live for thousands of years and have been on the Earth the whole time and manipulating our existence. Things are introduced and we're tested to see our reaction to new information. Right now, if you look at past history, going back several thousand years, you'll see how religion has evolved, government has evolved, and they keep us right on track in this continual classroom experience. As we go along, our reactions change because the more we become aware of things, the awareness gives us another viewpoint or a better viewpoint, or like you say, every time we sing the new UUU and go on the real side to look at information, we see it from the part that's not distorted, and you're left with the dilemma of, oh, here's real life when I'm awake, and here's real life when I'm asleep. Now, which one is the real one? We have to think about it. And as we go through years of evolution on Earth, we see how the same, the reptilians, it's the same God in every epoch of history. I mean, people who were living in Egypt, people who lived in different parts of the world, a long-lived reptilian can appear as a god in different cultures on different parts of the planet. The Dogon tribe in South Africa really communicated with the people, the creatures in the constellation of Sirius. They have a different type of evolvement, and they have different capabilities. The Orions are more technical, and the Syrian people are more in tune with nature. So it's interesting to see their viewpoint of life, two different angles. The one thing that I want to leave with is that the Orions have the capability to do everything that we are doing with mechanical things to create a hologram. They do it naturally. So they have a better control. They can look at us and command us to not remember something, and we don't. They know how to manipulate our genetic codons, the DNA, and change our viewpoint of stuff. And, of course, the frequency is underlying all of this. So thank you, Bob. That was just fabulous. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Claudia, so much for that. You know, there aren't very many people bringing up this information, and I think it's very crucial to seeing what is real and on this planet. As you all know, that this planet is not going to be long-lived unless we get some major changes to stop the destruction, you know, get that going real soon now. Is there anybody else that would like to add anything?
Hi, this is Tim in Oregon.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this DNA and the hologram and the real self, which doesn't seem to have a physical body with DNA, no eyes and no ears and no smell and taste and touch, and the reason why we came here and all these experiences, whether it's with reptilians that we may have once upon a what's called time been ourselves for maybe millions of years, to go through all these psychic realms and all these experiences to find out what is real. We're finding out just like the reptilians are not God, so that's not real. We find a comparison compared to like the real universes to get out of these psych realms so we don't have to reincarnate and go through any more of these seemingly hard lessons that what we call life seems to be full of here on Earth, whether it's the reptilians that cause them or our DNA being altered so that we're, instead of real love, don't have it, and why we have these wars for the reptilians or their representatives to, it's like, if we're here to be slaves, if we came here to be slaves to see, or for these reptilians to learn the experiences of what isn't real. Like in the real universes, we're not slaves. We're free beings of real light. So all of these experiences here in the psych realms just seem to be lessons that are needed for us to have a comparison of what isn't real compared to what is real.
Well, thank you very much for that. Is there anybody else that would like to add anything? Well, I think that's going to wrap it up today. If nobody else has anything else to say, I'd like to end the show today by everybody joining in at the same time and singing New You You, and then we'll end the program. So if everybody's ready, three, two, one, everybody sing New You You, and we'll say goodbye. All right. New You
You.
Well, thank you, everybody. Wonderful show, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Thank you, Bob.
Yep,
thank
thanks.
Thank you all.